Sleepers Podcast, happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you for joining Carter Elliott and myself on the show. This should be a fun one. I have a stupid hypothetical and some fun tier-oriented topics for you today. And Carter, as always, has a slipper flip, I think. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm assuming it's coming. More importantly, though, I've been meaning to ask you this for a full day. What is that thing behind you to your left?
This?
Yeah.
It's a Dyson vacuum. I'm sorry, not a Dyson, a Shark vacuum.
So we just have that in the frame for kicks and giggles.
No, there's a, so to my left off screen here, there's a outlet, and I'm actually not sure why I've been plugging it in over here. I usually don't, but it's been plugged in over here to charge.
Got it. Honestly, it looked like an IV a little bit to me. Like I couldn't really see, but I was wondering if you were getting some fluids in the middle of our shows.
I'm a big fluids guy. Pause.
What's your favorite fluid?
Water, easily.
Yeah, it's a good
just
one.
Straight up water too. Like no fizzy water, no flavored water, just straight glass water, H2O.
It's a really good one. It's arguably the most versatile fluid, I would say. My favorite fluid though is by far the best peak fluid at its best. That would be the old Tiger Gatorades.
I don't even know what those are.
There was a very limited time, I think for like 2 or 3 years, where they had a Tiger Woods branded Gatorade that was this like light turquoisey green color, and it is no longer available. It was sold, I think, in the early teens, maybe, or maybe late 2000s. There has never been a flavorful liquid that could touch it.
Wow. Have we ever had the Gatorade discussion, like as far as like your favorite flavor, your favorite form of Gatorade? Because you know they got like the small normal ones, the larger, like I think with like 32 ounce ones, they have mini ones, they also have like the nipple one. Like where do you stand on like Gatorade bottles and like Gatorade flavor, like the best one?
So I'm a fan of the Gatorade program as a whole. Just want to make that clear. Like I know there's up and down years with their Gatorades, but in general, like I'm just a supporter. I'm appreciative of the role that they've played in my life. I don't think there's such thing as a bad Gatorade. Like, I don't think you're going to hit me with like, oh, it's orange. No, thanks. Not going to happen. My favorite is the Tiger, as I mentioned. And it also came in a twist off cap that you ended up having like a little nozzle to drink from. Incredible. Google it. It's awesome. But I love the light blue. I think it's like the ice flavor.
I think it's Glacier Freeze.
Glacier Freeze. Yeah. And then there's the white, which is like an ice. I don't know if it's cherry ice or what.
Yeah, cherry.
Love them. Love both of those.
Yeah. So good choices. I'm only a Gatorade Zero guy. Regular Gatorades are just, they're too sugary for me. I think I used to love them, but like in my old age, I guess I can't do like the super ass sugary drinks. My favorite's always going to be lemon lime. Second is orange. Sleeper pick for number one that I don't think people give enough credit to is the cucumber limon one. Cucumber,
good one. I think really
that,
good.
Yeah, that slaps. It is like refreshing.
Yeah,
that might be my number one, to be honest with you. That is fire.
That one does hit like you're like a liquid IV every sip. Yeah, with some good flavor. Honestly, the Tiger Gatorade I'm talking about, the closest flavor to that is the cucumber. The Tiger wasn't as refreshing, but it was just better tasting. You just got to trust me on it. Do have one Gatorade negative to drop. Hate the mini Gatorades. I'm always angered by one of those little, like, just too small. It's too small.
Honestly, the flavors of the mini ones were not good, if I remember correctly. Like, they're a waste.
Yeah, it's like you could get the dark blue flavor or, like, just a pure red, which, again, I'm not here to shit on the flavors. I'll take any Gatorade, any flavor. But it's just too small. Like, you're never satisfied at the end of a mini Gatorade. You're going back for another mini Gatorade. The audacity of Gatorade to think they could give us miniature Gatorades and we would be satisfied. Not how it works. So, anyways, thanks, Gatorade. Appreciate you. Should we get to the show? What's your YouTube comment of the day?
Sorry, I feel like we have been going on this show way too long and had way too much content to have never had Gatorade discourse.
I still can't process that you're just like, yeah, let me put this vacuum directly in the shot of where I film every day.
So I had no clue it was in the shot, to be honest with you. Like, I'm gonna send you a picture of what I'm gonna send you a picture of what I see when we
You
review.
can't see yourself right now?
I can see my head, I can see the stairs, but I can't see anything over this shoulder
Why?
because my microphone is blocking it.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. Well, I
So thank
mean,
you. Yeah, I see it now. Thank you.
I thought this was just like a one day thing yesterday where like either you were just in the middle of a vacuum or something, or on genuinely, I thought it might have been an IV, but now I think the vacuum can't go away. Now I think it needs to be part of the show.
Okay. I mean, I have no problem with that being a charging station. We used to have another charging station over on another outlet in the basement, but for some reason I just came down here and plugged it up and I just kind of like it. So might
Can we
leave it.
get a
Let's see.
vacuum intermission like midway through the show? Can I just get you vacuuming for a little bit?
I mean, I can definitely like fire it up and see what we got going on, but
I don't
that's
actually want that to happen. I just was wondering if you were willing to go that far. And now
okay.
he's up off the couch, so it appears this is going to happen. I'm sorry to our listeners. Carter is currently vacuuming on video in the middle of our podcast. Is that a silent vacuum?
Huh?
Is that silent? Is that making noise?
It's making a little bit of noise, but it's honestly pretty silent.
Yeah, you don't hear anything through the Zoom call.
It's a great vacuum.
I'm sure it is. I'm surprised you haven't talked about it in one big thing.
Well, I've been told to stop talking about products, so
Well, we just spent the first 10 minutes of the show gassing up every Gatorade you've ever loved and your vacuum.
okay. Can I get to my YouTube comment, please?
Please.
Good grief. Let me go. In the realm of positivity, I'm going to read a positive comment. Let's see. At 3:06, I pause because I'm going to stop you, Greg. Greg and Carter, you guys, I watch every morning I wake up and every night I go to bed. You guys do the genuinely, wholeheartedly, the best job at filling the light for us college basketball fans. And I want to say, keep doing what you're doing. Don't listen to those doubtful thoughts of the haters. Seriously, keep doing what you're doing because people like me love it and live for it. Go green, go white, woof, woof.
I really appreciate that. Who said that comment? Can you read the name again?
User EZ2SY2QR2U.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. I love that. I think I said this on Tuesday's episode, but really that's all I want from this is to help enhance sports fans and college basketball fans' viewing experience in their day-to-day life with giving them something they enjoy. And I think I've done a poor job of that the last couple of weeks, but it like a comment like that is truly the whole purpose of why I like doing this so much. So it means a lot. Thank you. Do you feel the same?
Oh, it's not my positivity week. It's your positivity week.
I thought it was our positivity week.
It is our positivity week. I do, I love all comments in all forms, shapes, and sizes. All comments matter.
They sure do. Speaking of all comments mattering, let's go to the Discord for more comments. Hey, if you want to support this show, if you feel like the user that just commented that comment, the best way to support us truly is to join the Discord. It's $9.99 a month if you join on your laptop or desktop. Don't join on your phone because Discord jacks up the price for some reason. But $10 a month, I get it. $10 is a lot. We didn't really know what Discord was when people asked us to start a Discord, so we kind of wanted it to be that way. We wanted there to be a price. We wanted people that only really, really want to support the show to be able to join. And we're up over 140 people that interact with us daily in there. It really has a great sense of community, and we're gonna make this worth everybody's while even into the off season. That's our whole goal here is to serve that community. So if you want to support the show, if you feel like that user, if you like us, join the Discord. That would be the best way you could do so. We read comments from the Discord every day, and that takes us to today's comment from Purdue Boiler 83, who says, name a player for your team that was a recruit coming in or 1 year in and going into their sophomore year that you thought was going to be an all-conference type player, but ended up being pretty mid or worse.
So had to come back for their sophomore year from my team.
Or it could be a freshman too. Just somebody who you were really high on as a recruit, thought they were going to be a star, and in reality, they were not a good college basketball player.
To be honest with you, and I'm not just saying this because it is what it is now, I truly thought Malik Hall was going to be like a special four-man for 4 years at Michigan State after the flashes I saw freshman year.
That was after you saw him, though, right? Like, you didn't feel that way as a recruit.
Yeah, no, I didn't feel that way as a recruit. That was after he got there. As far as recruits, recruit-wise?
I hate to do the recency thing, but, like, it's right now it's definitely Xavier Booker.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, that's the more recent one. The one that came to my mind first, I thought Deontay Davis was going to be just a monster.
He was a monster, though. I get frustrated when Michigan State fans don't give him praise for his 1 year. I thought he was really, really good.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. He was good.
I thought he was really, like, I think the
Am I sleep on DD's?
We could pull up stats if needed. My thing with a lot of the Michigan State guys, like, you guys as a fan base, I don't want to make generalizations, but I think most Michigan State fans seem to be frustrated with Deontay Davis and Max Christie as if they were not good basketball players, when in reality you're just frustrated because they left after a year. Like, those guys were good in their 1 year. That's why they had opportunities to leave. And obviously most Michigan State players do not leave. It's not a one and done factory. But I think, like, back to Purdue Boilers question, we're looking for like a guy who just never was even a playable player. Like, Max Christie and Deontay Davis were very good starters for Michigan State. Yes. Fans.
I just for the record on here, I don't hate that Cormac left, by the way. It's the nature. It's the behind the scenes. It's the other. Yeah. It's the I have no problem with it. I mean, yeah, okay. Deontay, he had a, like, this is a good freshman year. 7 points a game, 5 rebounds. Set the single season freshman record with block shots.
Second didn't he play most like? Didn't he play like 17 minutes a game? That's it, too. Like,
I don't have the minutes up here, but that. It does sound. Let's see. He played 18 minutes a game.
Yeah, like he just it, like seven. That's your Dane numbers, right? 7 and 5 in 18 minutes. Like, let's see that in 30. He's one of the best bigs in the conference. So, yeah. And that team was really good. The memory is spoiled by when they lost the NCAA tournament. But like, he to me, he was like the perfect big to pair with Denzel. I'm trying to think of a Michigan State one for you that I think is a better answer than that, though. Like. It's not like you've had a ton of superstar recruits come in and not be good.
I mean, yeah, Langford was good. Did we, like, expect more from Langford?
Well, that was just injuries. He was really, really good before he got hurt. There's got to be a bust we're just not thinking of. There has to be.
Marvin Clark.
I mean, like, I think there were people who believed Foster Lawyer was going to be special.
Rocket Watts?
Rocket Watts is probably the best answer.
Yeah, that's
probably the best answer. I have a very obvious one from my Michigan days. Cam Chapman. Cam Chapman was a 5-star recruit when John Beilein got him. This was still back when Beilein wasn't getting a ton of 5-star recruits. So like he had the great title run year with all the pros. And then he had Irvin and Walton, who were like good 4-star, 4-year recruit types. And then he followed that up with like, oh, the momentum's still going. We got this 5-star dude from the West Coast named Cam Chapman. He's a 6'8" point guard. He can do it all. Shades of Jalen Rose. And then I think they took an overseas trip that summer. And this was after, I think Chapman's year was the first year they were bad. It was after Stauskas had left, after Stauskas, McGarry, and GR3 had departed. So you're kind of like, what's going to happen with this team? It's like LeVert, it's Walton, it's Irvin, and then it's Cam Chapman. And the stories out of the summer trip were that Chapman was like a top 3 player on the team, looked like an instant impact, stud. All the other Michigan freshmen who had come through the last 2 years were all instant impact types. Like, literally go through them all. They were all starters or immediate 10 points a game guys. So you're thinking he can't miss. All the hype is gassing him up. And then 2 weeks into the season, it was very clear this dude was terrified. Like, he couldn't shoot at all. He was a ball stopper. He was slow. He was a non-athlete. And they had him playing like off ball to these good players. So they'd kick the ball out to him. He just couldn't do anything. I remember very visibly there was a game. I think they played Syracuse. And they kept trying to put him in the middle of the 2-3 zone, and he just like couldn't make a play. And you're like, okay, this, and he had to play 32 minutes at the four for that team. There was no answer. Luckily though, Chapman did redeem himself. He had the big shot against Indiana in the Big Ten tournament where, I mean, if he doesn't make that shot, Michigan doesn't make the NCAA tournament. They ended up making the play-in because they upset Indiana, and Chapman was a hero. So he ended up transferring, never was good at Michigan, transferred out, was a killer at Detroit, by the way. Find your level. At Detroit, he was like conference player of the year. But yeah, he was.
Was he that good? I know he was good at UAD. Was he like putting up nasty stats at UAD?
Yeah, let's find. Let me read his numbers real quick.
Yeah, I might need that.
I think he was their player of the year in the conference. I could be wrong. He transferred from Michigan, had to sit out a year because this was still the transfer rules. His senior year at Detroit Mercy, his only year there, 17.8 points per game, 8.3 rebounds, 2.1 assists. He shot 41% from three on five attempts per game, 47% from the floor, played 33 minutes a game. Just a killer.
Damn. He's also the cousin of Ndamukong Suh.
I did not know that. That's crazy. Yeah. I like this game. Always liked this game. Just never worked out in Michigan. Okay, fun question. Could have done that for a whole hour. Some good RJ Melendez discussion here between you and Dane game. That was an answer from an Illinois fan in the Discord. RJ Melendez is a guy who underachieved. Sully McNeese Geese Aviator says, an argument with a friend of mine. What is a better win, Kentucky over Auburn or South Carolina over Tennessee?
I think Kentucky over Auburn.
I think I'm going to take a cop out and say they are identical.
That's not fair.
I think it's harder to win at Auburn than it is against Tennessee. But I also think Kentucky's a lot better than South Carolina. So
also, if we're playing like the line game, like South Carolina was 11-point underdogs.
Yeah, like I'm less impressed that a really talented Kentucky team beat Auburn than I am South Carolina beat Tennessee, but they're equal wins, I would say. UK, another Kentucky fan, says, how many backcourts from the last 5 years would you take over De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk? I know I'm biased, but that was the most electric backcourt I've ever seen, and it has to be one of the best ever. Totally agree. It's at least top five that I've seen in my life. Do you have any other nominations?
No, I think as far as like electric, like dominant, fun backcourts, that's the one that comes to my mind. Can I throw out an underrated one that I always just loved?
Yeah.
The Quentin Grimes, Marcus Sasser backcourt.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's a really, really good one. I loved them. I think backcourts that come to mind for me that could qualify in my top five, I do think Fox and Monk are the best. I think the Baylor backcourt, obviously, Butler, Mitchell, and Masio Teague, they had a third. And I think, given the fact that Butler and Mitchell won a national title, I think you could make the argument they're actually the best in the last however many years you want to do, but Fox and Monk are there. UK gave us only 5 years to choose from for this. I really would extend it further because I don't have others in the 5 years I would pick. If we did go further, I am going to throw a bone to Burke and Hardaway. They were ridiculous. And if you want to make that three, then the third is Stauskas. Like,
yeah. Who's Lonzo's two guard? Do you know that atop of your head?
Literally have that pulled up because I was going to make that point. It was Lonzo Ball and Bryce Alford and also Aaron Holiday. And that was the same year as Fox and Monk.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like during the season, I remember being way more impressed with UCLA's backcourt than Fox and Monk. And then by the end of the year, that flipped a little bit, but just kind of crazy to look back on it like that.
Yeah. So great backcourts.
Love a good backcourt. Still feel like we're missing one. I don't know what else it would be, but
I'm trying to think. Are we missing like a Duke backcourt?
I wouldn't count like the Barrett Reddish year as guards. You could take like one of the Jones brothers. They had Grayson Allen off the bench 1 year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for who we're missing, but I know we are missing somebody.
Yeah. Then you're going, like, I would go way back, show my age here, but, like, obviously, D, Darren, Luther Head, Raymond Felton, Rashad McCants would be in there. Probably Ty Lawson, Danny Green.
Am I stretching if I do Trey Young, Cam Augusti?
I wanted to, but we can't. That I looked at that team's game results the other day too, and I'm really mad how many games Trae Young lost in college.
I'm mad how many games he lost. I'm even more upset that his college career ended at the hands of getting packed up by Rhode Island and Bats Russell.
Completely disgusting. Like EC Matthews was too much for Trae Young and Brady Manek. Give me a break. Super Woke says the blueprint has been established. Should Michigan fire Juwan Howard this week so that they can revitalize their program by beating Purdue and storming the court? Answer's yes, but you could have stopped at revitalize their program. I don't give a damn about beating Purdue or storming the court. That would be great if it happened. Michigan needs to fire Juwan Howard this week to revitalize their program.
If they did get a court storm, it'd be hilarious how little people are at the storm.
I mean, it would be funny. Like, it would be really funny if Michigan did fire Juwan and beat Purdue, and then Painter lost back-to-back games with no coach.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Unfortunately, the greatest part about it is that Diebler wasn't a coach. Every assistant coach has had a chance to coach a game for Michigan this year. So it wouldn't be the first.
It's so true. It's so true. Fire them all. Let me coach a game. Honestly, like, I feel like I could maybe keep them competitive. You don't think so? You don't think I could walk in that locker room and win the locker room over?
No.
Give me 2 days. Like, hire me. So if we got a Saturday game, I want to take over Thursday morning, and I want to show up to film, and I want to be like, all right, fellas, listen. I'm here. I'm the player's coach. Like, you're my guys. Doug, what do you need? Do you want a tutor? Do you not want a tutor? Do you want me to do your homework for you? Whatever it is, I got you. Just give me one good 40-minute performance. I feel like I could break through.
I mean, I always believe in you, but I just don't know.
Maybe. Would love to see. Travis Nelson has our final comment of the day. He says, top three favorite players ever on your respective teams. I would enjoy top five, but I know there's so much time. Let's do top five. Give your all-time favorite players at your team.
Cash, easily. Kalen Lucas, Draymond. Sleeper pick. Wait, did I already say I didn't say Tillman already, did I?
No.
Tillman. And then for my fifth one. Got a lot of favorites. I'll probably go Zelle.
Okay.
Zell's a teeter one for me because I recognize Zell's greatness, but it's not about like greatness and favorite is different to me.
Yeah.
Like, I loved Raymar Morgan more than I loved Zell, I guess. I mean, kind of similar, but obviously one is better than the other. So it's kind of a weird question, but I think I'll slot in Zell at the fifth there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm surprised you went Zell at five. I enjoyed watching Zell for sure, but I'm surprised you didn't go back to a Raymar or somebody back from those days. There were a lot of really fun Michigan State players.
Thousands. Honorable mention, most fun, don't care where you put him ever. I will never stand for or hear any Darrell Summers slander ever in my life. I love Darrell Summers.
I loved him so much, too. He was great. Those are good picks. My top five would be Lucas Marble, Jordan Heron, Zach Hirth, Carter Elliott, and then I'm probably going Colin Kazin, fifth. Although Kazin fluctuates for me, but I don't know. He was kind of like a dual threat to me. I liked him.
Not Dakota Kazin?
No.
No.
No. No. No comment.
So no Michigan top five? That's not your team?
Albion's my team. Brits versus everybody.
That's crazy.
Brits versus everybody. If you want a Michigan, it's Burke, Stauskas, Poole. This is where it gets hard. Those are the obvious three. And I want it known, Poole was my guy before the buzzer beater also. That was the biggest moment.
You've always been a Poole guy.
I owned three different Jordan Poole jerseys before he hit that shot, and he was a 6 minutes a game guy. Trying to think of another fun one here that's like...
One of the Wagner brothers?
You know? Sorry. Had to let my dog in. Like, I appreciate the Wagner so much, but, like, I never loved Mo like that. Mo was definitely the better player at Michigan to me, too, and people seem to be rewriting that with Franz. But Franz, like, I always felt like he maybe could have been better offensively than he was, and I don't know. With Mo, it just was never there. I'm gonna go Derek Walton. I'm gonna give him a shout out. Derek Walton's senior year was so good and nobody realized it. Like the last 3 months of the year, Walton was like the third best player according to KenPom. And he was scoring like 20 a game, hitting step back jumpers. Just felt like you were watching a guy blossom. It was cool.
There was a time during that senior year Derek Walton run that I was like, is Derek Walton like an NBA guy?
he was crazy down the stretch, and it would like the way he played too. It was like step back threes. It was like you couldn't guard him. He was awesome. And then I guess fifth, it would have been Doug McDaniel if not for the way this season goes. Gotta go Isaiah Livers. Gotta go Isaiah Livers.
Good call. I like that.
Just a team guy. Love him. Okay. Fun questions. Thanks, Discord. Let's get to our topics today. I want to start with a very ridiculous, strange hypothetical. I'm good for about one of these a month these days. I spent 20 minutes last night in bed. This is not an exaggeration. This is a fact. It was past midnight. I looked at my phone at the end. It was like 12:25, and I had just spent 20 minutes thinking about this. If you are a fan of a college basketball program that needs to hire a new head coach, so this applies to me. This could apply to Ohio State fans. This could apply to Louisville fans. This could apply to any other job that comes open this year. If you had the chance to guarantee that whoever you hire results in a Fran McCaffrey career, just straight up follow the formula of Fran McCaffrey's entire career at Iowa, would you take that? Now, what I mean by this, I don't mean you're literally hiring Fran McCaffrey. I don't mean any of the antics. I don't care. You can decide if you want his antics or not. That's not what this is about. It's nothing about Fran McCaffrey personally. It's about the way his teams have looked and the way they've played. If you go through Fran McCaffrey's career at Iowa, he has made the NCAA tournament 7 times in 9 years since 2014. He's had 19 or more wins in 8 of those 9 years since 2014. He's had a winning record every single year at Iowa except for 2. Even in his bad years, they're always good. He's never made a Sweet 16. And I believe he only has 1 Big Ten banner at all, which was the Big Ten tournament banner that he won. Even in the really good years with Garza, Iowa never won the conference. So limited success in March, limited success in the conference, but always good and always stylistically fun. Like I'm talking you every single year, you have a top 10 offense. You don't play defense. It's an enjoyable product. You're going to love watching your basketball team. You're going to win 20 games, and you're probably never going to hang a banner. Would you take that let's do Michigan State for you. Whenever Tom Izzo leaves, you have to replace him. Would you take Fran McCaffrey, or would you roll the dice on whoever you hire?
Roll the dice.
Is it because you think you'd get a big name?
Yes. I also think I could get a coach that could at least get me to a Sweet 16. I love the fun of Fran teams. I love the offense. I love the players. Like I love all that. I love the success he's had in the regular season. I love the success that he's had in the Big Ten tournament, winning it. The fact that he hasn't made a second weekend is something I can't look past.
Incredibly unlucky, I think. Now it's not all luck. I think a lot of it is like Fran is Fran, but. Like you make the NCAA tournament that times, so like the odds are at a certain point you're just gonna break through.
Right. But also like it wasn't one of the years, didn't they win on a forfeit and they still couldn't make it to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, don't want to talk about that.
They got a one game head start and they still
couldn't. They've only been a favorite in the second round, like statistically, mathematically, once in his tenure. So like more often than not, you're coming in as like an 8 seed, a 6 seed, a 10 seed where you're an underdog. And he was a 2 seed the one great year with Luka Garza, and that's when they blew it. But
so
happens.
If you're a certain school, you're running and you're ecstatic to get Fran. I don't think like the Michigan States, Indiana's, Michigan, I don't think that's the level of school that that would work at.
Are you putting Michigan in there?
I think so because they've had March success.
They have, but so here's my problem. And you know I'm like deep down in my bones an Iowa guy, so maybe this is part of it. But like I'm looking through the names that Michigan will realistically consider, right? I could make you a list of all the names that I wish they would consider that I don't think will happen. Those names would include Sean Miller. Those names would include Nate Oates. Those names would include a bunch of legitimate coaches, TJ Otzelberger, Tony Bennett. You've heard me say them. I don't think any of those are actually realistic for a variety of reasons. I think Michigan's list is going to end up being Lamont Paris, if he doesn't go to Ohio State, Porter Moser, Nico Medved, and on. And when I try to imagine what Porter Moser or Nico Medved would look like in maize and blue, I think Fran McCaffrey is a lot closer to their ceiling than he is the floor. Like, we're talking about a guy, Carr, go back to 20.
Even with Porter?
Go back to 2020, man, at Iowa. He's had a top five offense four straight years. Like, and I'm not saying I wish my school would shoot for better. I really do. Obviously, my gut says Michigan can hire someone who can win. I think you can win national championships at Michigan. But the reality is Juwan sunk this thing so low that, like, if you could just promise me you hire a coach who's not going to get in trouble, not going to make any egregious errors, always have an elite fun offense, and make the tournament every year, I'm not in a position to turn that down. And I don't think many schools are either.
So you have a chance to get and put in another body because obviously Fran's older, like might retire or whatever. I'm just Fran and what he just did and Porter. You're taking Fran?
Yes, Fran is a better basketball coach than Porter. Yes. And I get, oh, Porter had one great run where the one seed lost. Like, can we? And I love Loyola. You know this. I'm not here to dismiss anything that Drew or that team did. That team was awesome. They had, what, three game-winning shots along the way?
Yeah. I think something like that.
What happens if one of those goes wrong? Like,
but also, like, Porter had a sweet six. Then he followed it up with a sweet 16.
He did.
So, like, and right there, he's already two up on what Fran's done.
Yeah, I mean.
And he won games as underdogs.
And then he lost to a 13 seed in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you know what? We didn't get there. We didn't get to that point, Gregory. All I'm saying is I'm leaning Porter over that. But I understand. I truly think it's a school-by-school situation. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, teams, and this might even backfire. But if I'm Memphis, I'm taking Fran.
It's not the sexy hire, and this is not me advocating you should hire Fran McCaffrey. I'm just saying, like, if you could guarantee me Michigan ends up with Dusty May, and Dusty May is Fran's career, I think he's there for 10 years and you're happy. Like, maybe you get to a certain point, like 7 years in, and you're like, that guy hasn't broken through in March. Maybe we should look elsewhere. But like, it's good basketball. It's fun basketball. It's 20 win teams.
You know what? I hate March, I think. I hate March.
Is March overrated?
I mean, one, I was born there, so there's already one doc. But, like, Fran is giving us top five offenses, like these elite offensive output performances out of Garza. He's getting twins. He's getting all this stuff. He's getting shooters. Like, and he just – it's just like the Trump card. It's just like you're in a, it was like in middle school, like when you're in a roast battle with somebody and like you think you're winning and then like little Timmy hits you like a your mom joke and you just lose automatically. Like Fran hasn't been to a Sweet 16 that's just always in the back pocket that you can hit him with and yeah. Sucks.
Like it's
just,
Fran.
Just make one, Fran.
And there's always been the it's Fran thing. Also, I felt you were probably elite at your mama jokes.
I was pretty good. I was pretty solid in fending for myself.
Yeah, I believe that. So who are the like consensus best hires a team could make this year? Like who Louisville's best possible hires are what? Jerome Tang and Dusty May?
Are buyouts a thing?
Jerome Tang, Dusty May, and Eric Musselman, right? Those are the three hottest names.
Is Cronin in that?
I think there's split opinions on Cronin. So I'm gonna leave him off.
Okay. Yeah, those are probably the guys.
Okay, so Jerome Tang has won 6 overtime games this season. Is 15-11 with 5 games left. Has lost 7 of his last 8 games. That's a bad Fran McCaffrey year. That's worse than the last 7 Fran McCaffrey years. Should we check in on Dusty? How's your boy Dusty doing? Wasn't he just down 20 to South Florida over the weekend?
They lost too.
Yeah, yes, they did. So, and I get, okay, there, we'll see what happens in March. Flip a switch. Is anyone even sure Dusty May's good? Really? Like, I get that he's handsome and he looks like a young Tony Bennett. I don't know if this guy can coach at all. They had one run where they should have lost to Memphis other than a Kendrick Davis turnover last year. So, like, the concept of you have to run through a wall to get Dusty May, like, I think all of these dudes, if they end up being Fran McCaffrey, that's like the ceiling for them. It's crazy.
I don't like this exercise now.
Should we move on? I don't like it. But also, like, back to your thing, you're Michigan State. Who's your hire?
Oh, Ott.
When you think Michigan State is going to try and get Ott, and you think that's reasonable?
I think that we wouldn't have an issue like paying $17 million. Like, I think we're going for big guys. Like, we're making big guys say no.
Are you? You sure that's Tom Izzo's plan?
Huh?
You sure that's Tom Izzo's plan?
I don't know. I'm Cart Haller in this situation. I'm not dipping into it.
Well, I can tell you what's actually going to happen is they're going to hire who Tom Izzo says to hire. And
who do you think he says?
Either Dwayne Stevens.
No.
Drew Valentine.
Yes.
Or someone random, like, honestly, Draymond, if Draymond's interested in it. Like, I think it's going to stay in the family. And hopefully not the actual family, because hopefully Stephen Izzo's not 40 by then. Otherwise, he might get it. But I think it, like, the obvious best case outcome is Drew, right? We love Drew. We absolutely love Drew. I'm never going to doubt Drew Valentine's coaching acumen. I think he would be a phenomenal hire wherever he goes. Also, like, last year would have been worse than any year in Fran's career. And that's...
Fran, good basketball coach, I think, should be the end all take all of this.
So is the takeaway yes? Like, to my hypothetical, would you take Fran McCaffrey results from whoever you hire, yes or no?
Yes, because it could be a lot. Like, I think this is how we wrap this. It's not an insult to take Fran. Like, you take Fran and you're having some good times.
Great times.
Yeah, you're having some great times. Like, I feel like there's a negative stigma with getting Fran.
Wins.
Yeah. That's part of the basketball, winning.
I like it. Okay. Thanks for engaging in my stupid hypothetical. I really did spend a good 25 minutes in bed last night on that. I want to move to the selection committee's reveal. Over the weekend, they gave us the top 16 teams in the bracket if the season ended today. They also seeded them up into pods, which gives you a look behind the scenes at, like, how does this process work? There are rules. Like, you can't load up one region just because those four teams all want to be in the West based on where they are located. You have to actually competitively balance this out based on where you've put teams on the seed list. So we have the bracket in front of us. What I want to do is go through these 16 teams, and I don't want to fill the bracket out necessarily, but I want to play a little game where, let's say, somebody hasn't watched most of these teams. Maybe someone's only watched one of these teams. Maybe someone's been living under a rock and doesn't know a lot about these college basketball teams. I want you and I each to summarize each of these 16 teams in one sentence or less. One sentence maximum is what you're allowed to tell me about each of these teams. You could take this any direction you want to go. Use your creativity. You could explain to me what they're good at, what they're bad at, or just simply call them frauds or for real, or name a player. I don't know. I'm excited to see what Carter Elliott's brain does with this exercise. I'm going to start just at the top left with the number one overall seed, according to the selection committee, and we'll work our way down each bracket. This would have been in the Midwest region, Purdue Boilermakers.
Final four bound.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go with big and good, but with the yips.
The Y word, huh?
Let's move on. One sentence. That's how this game works. San Diego State.
Jadon Ledee and one tournament win.
Keshawn Johnson isn't here anymore. Tennessee.
Dalton Connect is the scariest white boy since Jeffrey Dahmer.
If you're sleeping on the white boy, I'm Dalton Connect. Baylor.
If the great Baylor backcourts were Gatorade, this Baylor backcourt would be Powerade.
That's the best one yet. Okay. Unserious defense. Yeah. One that we won't elaborate from one sentence, but unserious defense. Okay, there's your Midwest region. Let's move to the West region. According to the selection committee, number one seed is Arizona.
They may just be fun.
Okay. I don't feel like I learned a thing about Arizona based on that sentence. Trust the talent. Do I trust Tommy or Caleb? To the four seed, Auburn.
When barking, they are dangerous, but I can't trust them if someone barks back.
Pick on somebody your own size. The two seed, Kansas.
Sleeping on Bill Self with two first team All-Americans is never a recipe for success.
You just talked me into Kansas so much. Oh my God. Basketball is 5-on-5, not 8-on-8. It's kind of profound. Holy shit.
I like that.
Three seed, Duke.
I still think this team is soft.
I still think this team is great. We're split on Duke. Okay, to the other side, to the East region, UConn.
Best team in the country.
Danny Hurley terrifies me.
Yeah.
Wisconsin.
Oh, you didn't hear that?
No.
Oh, sorry. Ladies, just want to say. The fraudest of all frauds in the country.
NIT DNA, North Carolina, the two seed.
I think this team's biggest enemy is themselves.
I love this. Is getting so philosophical. I feel like you're Socrates right now. I love this. Did you see that bounce pass by their point guard? Iowa State.
This team just keeps hitting and hitting and hitting.
I have to comment. I don't like that you're using the Seth Lundy Penn State vibes on Iowa State. We're going to have to square that offline, but I might be able to get behind it. It doesn't sit well with me right now. Contenders. That's it. Contenders. South region, four teams left for this exercise. Houston.
Doubt KenPom all you want. He's right about this team.
Whoa, some flowers for KenPom. Do you like sticking your hand in a blender? Illinois.
Girls like offense.
This is the year. This is the year. Marquette. Marquette.
Colict if you do, colict if you don't.
It's still Shaka. Alabama, final team.
Mark Sears is the best guard in the country.
Sometimes the year ends up happening a year after it was supposed to be the year. It's a fun exercise.
I really enjoyed that.
I feel like we'd be really good at writing captions for fortune cookies.
Yeah. Except I would get a little bit, like, if I had a bad day on my fortune cookie, I'd be like, just so you know, like, as you're reading this, your day's going to suck. And you suck.
I have always thought there's a business idea somewhere to have fortune cookies that are really negative things instead of like, imagine you open a fortune cookie expecting like, just believe in yourself. Everything will work out. And it's like, you should give up on your dreams.
Have you ever like, I've once thought to myself, like the ROI on fortune cookies has got to be ridiculous.
You think like, so?
It's small. It has no flavor. It probably costs 2 cents. To make one of those things, another cent for the paper, and you just print something, and then you just go up on Google and you look up top 100 inspirational quotes and just throw it on there.
Yeah, I'm a huge fortune cookie guy. I might be doing my one big thing right now. I like, if I could buy just boxes of the cookies themselves, I would eat those like twice a week.
I throw away fortune cookies when I get
that's food. So crazy. Don't ever, like, actually genuinely, can you save them and like I'll pick them up from you?
Yeah, sure.
I need them. They're so good. Okay, final topic today. We want to go through the AP poll, and we're going to put every team in the updated AP poll into tiers. There's four tiers that I am going to allow you to choose from. Tier number one, this team can win a national championship. Tier number two, this team can make a Final Four. Tier number three, this team should make the second weekend. Tier number four, this team should not make the second weekend. Do we want to split the fourth into a fifth, too, and say, like, this team's losing round one?
Yes, I'd like to do that.
Okay, we're adding a fifth tier. So basically, win the title, Final Four, second weekend, one win, lose in the first round. Those are our five tiers. We're using just the AP poll top 25. So all these teams are going to be in the NCAA tournament at this point. We'll start at the top, work our way down. UConn Huskies.
Like contender champ.
Yeah. Can win a national title. No additional commentary. Houston.
Can win a national title.
Can win a national title. Purdue.
Can win a national title.
Are we sure?
I mean, even in their worst spots, like, this is still probably a top 10 team on Torvik since the last month, aren't they?
So I think terminology matters to where I land on this. Can win a national title? Absolutely, Purdue can. Like, are we doing, do I trust that they really will? And I know they were my title pick a week ago. Would UConn or Houston ever lose to an Ohio State team that's lost like 20 of their last 30 Big Ten games without their head coach?
No.
Like, that's just not a loss that a national champion takes. It's just not.
Final Four category for Purdue?
But if we're categorizing this as like they can win the national title, I think Purdue has to be in it. It's just, I would almost want to tweak the category to like, do we think they will?
All right, well, let's tweak it then. Let's tweak it to do we think they will.
But then, because we can't have two teams, we have UConn and Houston in will. Like, that can't happen. So I think it has to be can. I think it has to be can, which means we have to put Purdue in it. But we're going to do a whole segment on this when we do the Purdue preview for Thursday. Don't look at where this team is at since February 1st. Like, there's been a drop off and they're not playing like the team they were in November. And hopefully that changes, but it's really scary right now.
Okay. So contender.
So can. They're in. They're in. Can. UConn, Houston, Purdue can win a national title. Arizona, can they win? Or where would you put them? Arizona.
Final four. I think they're a really good team. I don't think they can win at all.
Is it because they're too reliant on a guy who at a certain point is going to shoot them out of a game?
No, I think that the head ball coach of that team is not a national championship.
Ah, wow. Mr. Extension getting some criticism from you. Interesting. Okay.
When you really take a step back and think about it, like Tommy Lloyd has done great things at Arizona so far. This man lost to Princeton last year as a 2 seed and got an extension the year after that.
It's because a lot of schools would have hired the guy who lost to Princeton really quickly if they didn't.
Very true.
By the way, I was told Arizona had no money. The hell happened to that?
Find a way.
I don't understand. I think I would push back and say this team could win a national title, but if you feel strongly, I'm fine with Final Four. Because
I don't feel strongly enough to where I feel like I would throw them in the can't win it all category. I'm not reserved.
Final Four then. Arizona in the Final Four tier. Tennessee.
I think Tennessee can win a national title.
Really? Talk me into that.
I think they're like the fully realized version of Tennessee. You have a national player of the year level player and talent in Dalton Knecht and a bunch of guys that cover up Dalton Knecht's weaknesses and also excel at their roles.
So the path forward here is basically just like Connect is Kemba Walker and the defense is great for 3 weeks.
And defense is great and just got a bunch of Jeremy Lambs, Neil Geffeyes around them.
Okay. I'm willing to go there. I think there's better, like maybe there's a couple really good teams at the top. Like they gotta be better than UConn still. It's not like it's wide open, but I'm okay. Tennessee title. They could win a title.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Iowa State, our Cyclones.
Final Four.
I really want it to be national title. But I think they could get to the title and lose. I don't think they could. I think it would be a little too bright for Otz's shirt when you get there. Final Four for sure. Marquette.
Second weekend.
I'm good with second weekend as well. I thought you might get a little feisty and pick them off first.
I thought about it.
Okay. I'll go second weekend, but I have a skeptical eye on Marquette with that, but should still be good enough to win too. Duke.
I need to put more respect on Duke though. I feel like you want to put them in the Final Four.
So I want to reiterate, we're not like putting 9 teams in Final Four and that's mathematically incorrect. We're saying like they can win a title, they can make a Final Four, they can make the second weekend, and then it's just like they can win a game or we think they're going to lose. Those are the 5 categories. Duke can win a national championship.
Whoa, national.
Duke can win a national championship. If you're going to try and talk me into North Carolina can win a national championship, you have to do this with Duke. They have a guard who started and was one of the best players on a team that already went to the Final Four. They have one of the best 5 players in the country, bona fide first-team All-American, Kyle Filipowski, who came back when he should be in the league. They have a preseason top-5 player in the country who's still damn good in Tyrese Proctor. And they have a blossoming superstar who just went for 35, who might be a lottery pick. Like, the fact that Jared McCain has now emerged as the best freshman in college basketball, we have to take this team completely differently than we did in November. They're 20-5. They're 20-5. They're awesome.
I'll get there with you. Okay. It's off, but I'll get there with you.
They could win a national championship. Kansas.
I think Kansas could win a national championship.
Here's why I don't think they can. Their best player is Hunter Dickinson. And at a certain point, somebody's going to be in foul trouble and they're going to need their bench.
We're positive that Hunter Dickinson is their best player?
Second, he plays too big of a role. Like, there's going to be he could get them to the Final Four. I fully believe that. We're talking like win six against some of the best teams in the country. You're either going to need your bench or you're going to need Hunter to be fully rational the whole time.
Hunter's like NCAA tournament career. What's it like? What's his NCAA tournament legacy? Like this, he steps up in the tournament, right?
He's been good. Yeah. I mean, he was bad in the Villanova loss in the Sweet 16. I thought they could have won that game the year they made it. Yeah. I mean, made the Elite Eight the year before. He's a true freshman. He was good.
Okay.
He was great in the NIT loss to Vanderbilt last year. He was electric. He was. He's a big time bright lights postseason guy.
So where are you with Kansas final? Like, can make a Final Four?
I don't think I didn't say this. Can DeJuan Harris win a national championship? I know he did already.
Yeah, he already did. Yeah.
But that team had like he was the fifth option, right?
Yeah, and he might be the fifth option on this team though. That's the thing.
It's the third option on this team.
Is he?
Yeah, that's the problem with Kansas.
I think Murphy's emerged as a third option.
All right. You can pull rank. I think this is Final Four ceiling.
I'll do Final Four. I thought you were gonna go short of that.
No, yeah, they can make a Final Four. They're good. Okay. All right. North Carolina.
I'm not getting can make a Final Four with North Carolina.
You said you're out on the heels. You apparently are more out on them than I am.
I'm not fully out, but I can't get rid of the vision of closing my eyes and this team cannibalizes itself and flutters out. Like, I can't get that image out of my head.
So where do you want to put them? I was going to push back if you said they could win a national title, and I'm open to saying they can't make a Final Four. Four either, but
is there a category like they can make, like they can come one game short of the Final Four? Like Sweet 16 is too aggressive. I want them like losing in the Elite Eight.
That's just second weekend.
Okay, then second weekend, that's where I'm at with this team.
I think they could make a Final Four, but if you want to be that out on the heels to say it's just a second weekend team, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to stand for Elliott Cadeau.
I don't feel that as strongly as I should on that. Like, I'm not ready to go to bat for that. They can make a Final Four. RJ Davis is still.
Yeah, he's RJ.
Yeah,
he's RJ. Okay, so North Carolina can make a Final Four. Notably, though, Duke can win a national title in our eyes. North Carolina can make a Final Four. Just saying. Riley Davis, let's talk about it Friday. Baylor.
Second weekend team.
I think they can win a game.
You think they're losing first weekend?
I don't think this is a second weekend basketball team. And I think there's a decent chance you could pick them off first round, too, depending on who the draw is. They stink defensively. And I don't think they should stink defensively is the thing. And they stink defensively. Like, Jacoby Walter is not playing nearly as well as he did the first month of the season. That's ominous. Like, a lot of other freshmen are getting better. To me, he's gotten worse. I don't trust Jaden Nunn. I know you talked about that the other day. We're like, well, Jaden Nunn's going to switch onto someone. I'm like, does that scare me at all? Like, if Jaden Nunn is my op in the round of 32, I'll take my chances with that. Scott Drew is the scariest part of this team to me, but I'm not willing to say I expect a Sweet 16 from this team.
I think they got enough talent and the offense can get them to a Sweet 16.
Were they better last season than they were this season to you? They had LJ Cryer, Adam Flagler, and Keontae George.
But this team doesn't hate each other. I think Keontae George hated that team. Just give me second weekend. Give it to me.
I can't. I'm going to fight you on this one. I can't. I think this is a round of 32 team. I'm pulling rank. You get to pull rank on the next one we disagree on. I'm pulling rank. Baylor first weekend round of 32. You get to choose the next one we disagree on, which could be this. It could be Illinois at 12.
Second week. I can't get there because they can't check. They can make a second weekend.
I think they can make a Final Four still. I think they can. Nope. I'm not betting on it, but if this is a ceiling exercise, I think Illinois can make a Final Four.
You're right. It's a ceiling exercise. They can make a Final Four.
Okay. ILL can make a Final Four. Alabama.
I don't think that Bama can make a Final Four.
Hard counterpoint. Mark Sears, best guard in the country. Hard counterpoint. It's often the year after you think it's supposed to be the year. Hard counterpoint. Nate Oates just constantly churns out top 10 teams in the country every year, and then it comes down to do they make shots or not. Like, they could absolutely get hot for 2 weeks.
Yeah, hard counterpoint. They could not be hot. Also, hard counterpoint. Their front court is Grant Nelson, and anyone can score on him. Also, another hard counterpoint here. Everyone in their front court will have 5 fouls eventually.
All right, you can trump me if you want.
I would like to pull rank. This team cannot make a Final Four.
Okay, so where are we putting them? Sweet 16?
Second weekend.
Okay. Auburn, number 14.
I feel like I've come off as a way too much of an Auburn hater lately. I still think this team is good. So I'm going to say, I don't think they can make a Final Four, but I think that they can win 2 games. I think they can make a second weekend.
They could make a Final Four if the bracket included upsets. Like, if Auburn somehow gets the Loyola draw where it's like, we get to the Sweet 16, we're playing a 12 seed and then a 13 seed or whatever, that would be lovely. As long as they don't play someone their own size, I think they're fine. If they play one of the top 20 teams in the country, I think they lose.
Yeah. I would get there. They could make a Final Four to me if Aiden Holloway was what I thought he was going to be.
Okay, so second
without
weekend.
Him, without him, it's a second weekend team.
Second weekend for Auburn, I like it. Okay, Creighton.
Gregory.
I think I'm going to agree with you if you go where I think you're going.
I think this team can make a Final Four.
I think this team can win a national championship.
Oh, Greg. The ship?
Can we come back to this after UConn, Creighton? Everyone's going to listen to this after that game's taken place. So if Creighton gets blown out by UConn, I'm going to look stupid, and I'm willing to move to Final Four. If Creighton beats UConn, I'm fully on board that this team can win a national championship.
I might be the same with you. Let's revisit.
Steven Ashworth's making shots. That's all that mattered to me at the beginning of the year.
Baylor Shireman's cooking.
Baylor Shireman's insane. We did our whole like top 10 players, national player of the year. We left him off. He's one of the top 8 players in the country. It's crazy.
Sorry, shout out to Johnny Mac 6, I believe his name was.
Johnny Mac was killing us, and he should. We were wrong. And they got Calc and Alexander. Like, I love this team. I'm in on this team. Okay, so where are they? Are they title, or are we going championship?
I'm going Final Four.
I'm going title. They can win a title. They can.
Damn it, I'm mad I already pulled rank. They can win a title. You know what? Because I'm projecting that, one, they might win this game against UConn. Two, even if they don't win, they're not going to get, like, dog walked or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. We're going Creighton, and we'll see if we're right or wrong. Dayton. Also, I like that it went from Creighton to Dayton. Nice little rhyme there.
Yeah, I'm actually 100% positive the AP poll made that a thing, too. Like, they put those two teams. One and done.
Lost first round?
Yeah.
I'll go with that. I think that's fair. I feel bad we're kind of beating up on like the non-power conference teams, but hopefully that'll change here. Let's speed round through these last few. Kentucky at 17.
Can make a Final Four.
Can win a national championship, I think.
I'm with you. Can win. Yeah.
Okay. We're locking it. You really are speed rounding. St. Mary's at 18.
Okay, I'm on the same wavelength as Iowa State with this one. Like, they could get there. I don't think they get over the hump, so I'll go Final Four.
They can make a Final Four. I wholeheartedly agree. San Diego State.
San Diego State can make a Final Four.
Whoa, I was going to stop at Sweet 16. Make the case for Final Four.
The current state of the sport is constructed that San Diego State can make Final Fours.
I guess that's true. I'll let you pull rank. And yeah, we shouldn't knock a team that did it last year. I guess that's fair. They need the right draw, though. South Carolina at 20.
First weekend out.
I'm going to go lose first game with Carolina. I'm kind of mad I talked myself into the Cox. Brian Ralph is just a handsome guy. It scares me.
I'll go one and done.
Final five here. Washington State at 21.
I don't want to label them.
Lose first game.
Okay, thank you.
Colorado State.
Can make a second weekend. Isaiah Stevens is that good.
It's Nico.
He is.
It's Nico.
Stevens.
Do you know what Nico Medved's career in the NCAA tournament is?
I know he lost to Michigan.
That's the only time he's ever been there. They were favorites in that game. Juwan Howard did not have his starting point guard. Frankie Collins played 30-something minutes for Michigan, and they got packed up. Like, that was not even like a, like, oh, we should have won that game.
All right, I'm letting you pull rank. Yeah, probably one and done.
Ooh. Did this exercise bore you? I'm sorry.
Colorado State, the Rammies bore me a little bit. My apologies.
It is dragging a little bit. I'm going Colorado State lose. That's where they're at. Texas Tech.
They can make a Sweet 16. I think that they strike me as that type of team.
I'm going to give you that mostly because I think McCaslin might be sneaky good and nobody realizes it yet, but I don't love this roster. Florida.
You're going to hate
careful,
me.
Careful.
You're going to hate me, Greg. Florida can make a Final Four.
That's insane. I was going to give you win a game. I was going to maybe be talked into Sweet 16. Four straight games in March for Todd Golden.
Yeah, they got guys, man.
They don't got that many guys.
They got some guys. They got old guys. They got guys.
They got old. They don't got that many guys.
How many guys do they have?
Walter Clayton.
Pullen?
Pullen's all right. Oh, sorry. Positivity Week. Pullen's really good. They got guys. You're right. They got guys.
Yeah,
they can make a Final Four. They can make a final team. They can make a Final Four. 25 is BYU.
One and done.
I think they can win a game.
Yeah.
Put them around a 32. Okay. That was a fun exercise. Thanks. Whenever we actually do make a graphic for that, there's going to be like one team in each of the low categories and then a bunch of teams that can make a Final Four. But it's a wide open year, I feel like, outside of UConn and maybe Houston and maybe Purdue. Fun exercise. One big thing presented by Big B. What do you got today?
Simple one today. I just want no one to take Ariana Grande for granted. I understand there's new blood out there. I understand, you know, there's the Olivia Rodrigos of the world. Let's not forget who started this shit. Ariana Grande's one of them ones.
It's an odd time to go on that bandwagon, but I guess I respect it. I have no hate towards Ariana. She's in a strange place in life, though.
Is she? I really don't even follow her personal
Yeah,
life.
She's like on, I think she's doing like a Broadway thing, maybe Wicked, maybe. But she looks like a Bratz doll right now that was like left in the sun too long. And she broke up a marriage with her co-star who looks like Ron Weasley.
All right. Yep. That's pretty on brand for me, I guess.
I think it wasn't great timing, but she can sing though. I would like to go back to my fortune cookies for my one big thing presented by Big B. I actually have an online fortune cookie generator right now. If you don't mind, I'd like to both get a fortune to end this episode.
Please.
Okay. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I want to go first.
Okay. This is Carter Elliott's fortune. I hate you. People are naturally attracted to you.
I mean, what do you want from me? What do you want from me, man?
Also, isn't your number 34?
Yeah, it is. It
says your lucky number is 34.
I mean, Greg, what do you want from me, brother? What do you want from me?
Great.
What do you want from me? It attracted to me. You know that. What do you want?
My fortune. Never cut what you can untie. It's actually pretty profound. So I should actually, you know what? That's very profound. Yeah, I got it. I got to sit on that for a couple days. All right. Thanks, Bigby. Thanks, Fortune Cookies. We'll be back tomorrow on Thursday.